Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 1 to 10. God's distinguishing the temporarily sinful from the hardened rebellious. Though divine judgment was predicted for the people of Judah, God's promised fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, 1 to 3 required that those who repented and had a change of heart would be blessed. However, some in Judah were so hardened that they would never repent. So God made a distinction between the two groups. What Jeremiah 24, 1 to 10 reveals and explains for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the chapter, and then we'll look at it. 10 verses in Jeremiah chapter 24. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away king of captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, we would say bad figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have set out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so I will give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword and the famine and disease among them until they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Okay, interesting. Jeremiah 24:1 explains that the prophetic vision of the two baskets of figs that God gave the prophet Jeremiah occurred after Judah's king Jeconiah had been taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. Now, this historical context is very important towards understanding the meaning of the vision for two main reasons. Number one, King Jeconiah and his officials had willingly gone out from Jerusalem to surrender back to Babylon in 2 Kings chapter 24, 8 to 12. It wasn't a matter of the king forcibly coming and capturing them. Jeconiah decided, you know, it makes best sense is to go out and surrender. Then there's no conflict. We're not trying to be a threat to the king. We're just going to submit to him. And so he went out in faith that he'd be taken care of. Jeconiah had realized the futility of humanly trying to fight the Babylonians, so he had gone out to surrender to Babylon's king. But Jeremiah later unsuccessfully tried to get King Zedekiah to do in faith that God would preserve him instead of either trying to fight the Babylonians or trying to flee from them only to be caught and mistreated by them. See, later Zedekiah had asked Jeremiah, what should I do? And Jeremiah says, if you go out and you surrender, you and your officials, surrender to the king of Babylon, you'll be taken captive to Babylon and no harm will come to you or any of your people. But if you refuse to surrender to him, either stay and fight or try to flee from him, you're going to be mistreated. And what happened is he tried to flee when the Babylonians came. So the Babylonians captured him. They killed his sons in front of him and then they put out his eyes. All right. So the last thing that he would remember would be the sons that he'd killed. He was taken and he was kept in prison until the day of his death in Babylon. So, you know, it's very interesting. Jeconiah had sensibly gone out, and that's what God wanted the people to do, submit to Babylon. Second, the Jews who remained in Judah after Jeconiah and his officials had been taken to Babylon believed that such captives were removed from God's power, that the promised land belonged only to those who stayed behind. This view arose from the pagan belief that a deity, including Israel's God, was only a local deity with power limited to that locale, not that Israel's God was Lord of heaven and earth as revealed in Scripture.
This shows us that the people had bought into some of the pagan ideology of the day, where they thought the gods are just local gods, so they had come to believe that Israel's God was God only there in Jerusalem and in Judah. But you take him, you go outside of that area, and your God can't help you. Well, that's so different from what Scripture says. Scripture says God's the God of heaven and earth. See, he's God in Babylon and as well as here.
So, one basket of figs illustrate the good figs, the deportees who would repent and be blessed of God, and the other basket, the bad figs, the spiritually hardened people who remained in Judah and would be judged by the Lord for the lack of faith in him and for religious syncretism and pragmatism, paganism. Now, it's interesting, these baskets or figs are in front of the temple because apparently they're presented as gifts to God. Well, bad figs that you can't eat are a very bad gift to give to God. The good figs are actually the first fruit figs. Those are actually the highest quality figs. Kind of like the Slates have told me, Dave and Michelle Slate and the kids have told me that the first soap, I remember Dave in a children's conversation said that the first syrup that you get is generally the best, the highest quality. And if you were in the Old Testament, that's the syrup that you would give to the Lord as you tied the syrup, if you whatever you're going to do. So these are two baskets of figs that have been left as gifts to God. One is very, very bad, and one is very, very good. So Jeremiah described the two baskets of figs in the vision. One basket with choice figs like the first fruits that Scripture claimed were to be given to God. Passages like Deuteronomy 18:3-5 mention that. And the other basket containing very bad figs that could not be eaten. I was taught in seminary that these were figs that were probably overripe and they were actually rotting. Flies were around them and everything. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't normally think of giving those to God. Well, God explained that the basket of good figs was like the deportees to Babylon, that he would watch over them for their good, to bring them back to the land of Israel and settle them there. For he would give them a heart to know the Lord, and thus repent and return to him. His promise will be ultimately fulfilled, of course, in the Messianic kingdom of Christ. There was a partial return of Jews to the land following the Babylonian captivity, but not you've never had all the Jews returning. The Jews, ever since they were deported to Babylon and Assyria, they've never returned. In fact, someone told me that there are more Jews living in Brooklyn than there are in Israel. I don't know, but there are millions of Jews that are living in the Brooklyn area. So, and you got many down in South America, Argentina, whatnot. You got many in Europe. But the Jews as a whole never have, as a people, gone totally back to the land of Israel. That will happen in the millennial kingdom of our Lord, which is wonderful. So, however, the basket of bad figs were the Hebrews who remained in Judah and refused to repent. Like Zedekiah, their refusal to trust in surrendering to Babylon when its army returned to lay siege of the city, and their warped belief about God being Lord only of their area, caused by a syncretism, that's a mixing, of Scripture with paganism, would bring them judgment. Some of them would stay in the land, but some would go to Egypt in violation of Deuteronomy 17:16, and their apostasy would bring them banishment, shame, the sword, famine, and disease until they were destroyed. So, like the good figs, God knew the deportees under King Jeconiah would repent so God could bless them. But like the bad figs, those who remain in Judah were so rebellious against trusting in God and so corrupt in their syncretism of Scripture with paganism that they would be destroyed. Incidentally, Daniel and his three friends, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had already been deported under Jehoiakim's submission to Babylon. That was before even Jeconiah. So they were among the good figs who repented and devoted themselves to God. And you remember in Daniel chapter 1, 8 to 21, they decided that they would not eat anything of the king's meat. The reason was because the king's meat had been offered to idols. And so they made up their mind, we are going to serve the Lord, and we're not going to eat meat sacrificed to idols. We'll eat just vegetables and lentils, which the lentils is a soup. And so they decided to do that because they were trying to avoid idolatry. It wasn't because they wanted a different diet. It wasn't that they were opposed to meat. They were opposed to eating meat sacrificed to idols.
They didn't want to have anything to do with idols.
Well, in Babylon, God watched over them for good. He saved Daniel from the lion's den, and he saved his three friends from the fiery furnace. So it demonstrated that God is the God not only in Judah, but everywhere. He's a God even in Babylon when they were in captivity. He protected Daniel from the lions. And the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, appeared in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because King Nebuchadnezzar said, there's a fourth in there. It's like the Son of God. It was the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. What's also interesting is that God's angel in Daniel 12:13 said that in the resurrection, Daniel would stand in his lot in Israel. That would be his inherited lot back in Judah, because he was one of the princes of the seed of David. So he had a plot in Judah that was his. And that fulfills Jeremiah 24:4-7, where God says, I'm going to bring him back. So some of these people didn't get back to the land in their lifetime. No problem. God's going to give them a resurrection, so they'll get back. One way or another, they're going to get back to the land. So in application, may we always submit to God's directives in his word to repent of our sin, lest we get so spiritually hardened that we become immune to repentance and must suffer severe discipline. Secondly, may we watch that we not end up like the people of Judah in Jeremiah's day, namely, that we not fail to trust God's words so as to heed him versus taking things into our own hands in futility, as Zedekiah did by trying to flee rather than going out and surrendering to the Babylonian king, and that we not let our attention drift from Scripture to adopt extra-biblical views along with Scripture that only corrupt our beliefs and thus our actions. This is a good passage to use to show how when we shift away from Scripture and we start mixing Scripture with stuff outside of Scripture as our belief, it gets you into trouble. These people had adopted the pagan view of God and God being just limited in his ability. And it messed them up in their relationship with the Lord. If they had stayed away from paganism and just followed Scripture, they would have been fine, but they didn't do that. And they got into trouble. So it's really important that we stay with Scripture and with Scripture alone. And it's very important that we really live by faith, that we trust the Lord and do what he directs us to do rather than to try to take things into our own hands. That can be very, very difficult.